comfortable. Let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Everyone, this is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical, paranormal, and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and with the aid of our spirit friends, we are going to be finding out more about healing development. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines will be open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call in the US is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And international callers, it's 530-876-3222. And the code is 001. Okay. The international call is not toll-free, but it won't be an awfully long call, and it'd be well worth it, I can assure you.
Well, thanks. Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Oh, by the way, the show today is also available, of course, and broadcast in people in the UK can pick it up at the time there is now 9 o'clock, GMT, that is. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services that we offer, please do go and visit our websites. And these are www.spirit-teaching.com and www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, and each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back safe and sound when Gregory leaves. I not only miss the whole show, of course, but I very rarely remember where it is they took me either. But really, does that actually matter? No, not to me it doesn't, because I'm not really that inquisitive. And I think that if it was a problem, then it can in some ways destroy the situation of deep trance, because you have to have a completely blank and open mind in order to be able to go into the deep trance state. So anyway, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie now, and take my glasses off, have a quick sip of water, and go off to sleep. Thank you very much.
Yes, and then the next voice, male voice that you will hear is Gregory. And Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, who consist of many great minds as well as regular people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to gain an understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. The subject matter we cover is limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. We do not have any religious bias or political persuasion, and our mission is only to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit, to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. Like I say, the number to call if you want to join us with a question relating to our subject of healing and any development. Maybe you are thinking of developing healing, or maybe somebody's told you you have healing gifts and you wondered in what direction you needed to go. We'll be talking about healing generally, and maybe covering some specific areas that that maybe people become a little stuck in, and hopefully we'll be able to enlightened quite a few of you. And like I say, please do join us. If you have a question or if you want to talk to Gregory about this or myself, and the number to call in the U.S. is toll-free, and Canada is toll-free. In the U.S. it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And international callers, it's not free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. Okay, I do believe Gregory is here.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, dear friend.
Thank you, Gregory. Well, this healing development is such a broad, huge subject, isn't it? I mean, it's what really should make the world go round, I guess.
Absolutely, it should make the world go round, because everyone, of course, can do healing, bring about healing, connect with the healing energies of love and life and the universe.
And in particular, we were talking about today's show, and we were saying that people can tend to get stuck in the way that they actually either view healing or do healing. Their actual whole idea of it sometimes can maybe get a bit repetitious often.
Yes, absolutely so. So to begin with then, friend, the viewing of healing, how people actually assimilate with healing may not be to the full extent of everyone's rational thought. Now, it may well be that you as a person embark upon the spiritualist association of healers and that kind of thing, and that will have a certain course for you to take, and that you will no doubt have, usually in that situation, to wait some large amount of time before you even begin to have a hands-on experience of healing. Why? I have not a clue. But the situation appears to be that there is this very measured and very slow and repetitious build-up of the arts of what this person is supposed to gain in knowledge and insight, and also, of course, the graduation of energy being attracted to that person. This means, of course, that the whole situation cycle may take several years to become a recognized healer with a certificate at the end of it, a piece of paper. But the point is, does that mean to say that this healer has actually learned what? Have they learned to connect with the spirit world? Have they learned to connect with those loving, healing energies of the spirit world? Or is this all a mechanical default? What we are saying, very by large, on your side of life, is in fact that many people become adherent to a specific practice and merely go through the repetitious motions. Now, I am well aware that, of course, many other people will have been dealt with the situation of healing in different ways. I understand there are other forms of healing as well, the Federation of Healers and that kind of thing. These are people that don't necessarily use their hands on the client, whereas the Spiritualist Association will say that you have to have your hands on and that no other kind of healing could exist. So there is a strange dichotomy there already, that the auric field isn't even, in a sense, recognized in that way. So it means to say that you have people who are truncated into these different walks of life and they have to react in these different ways, all because their teachers, masters, master healers, so say, or whatever, are telling them to do that. Well, that to us is something of a ridicule of spirit energy. What is really spirit energy? It's you. It's me. It's the universe. So surely everyone has a right and should be able to connect with that energy, is what we're saying. And in this preamble, I suppose, we are very well, I'm citing two situations, and I'm not knocking the situation. I'm not being negative toward them. But what I am saying is they're very restrictive in the practice and in the mindset that they give to a person.
Now, I think that's very interesting. It's a good point to make, because a lot of people who might just become unstuck at the first hurdle when they actually go to do, or if they're interested in discovering and exploring their healing gifts, if they have any, or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Going to these different places.
Yes, and after all, one person who practices one kind of healing, like the Federation of Healing or Reiki or whatever, are not allowed to heal in a spiritualist church and vice versa. These two different or three or four or five or six or however many different forms of healing practitioners are not allowed to practice in each other's domains. I suppose that's really what sets it apart. But the point is that's actually to do with material visionary situations and the way that human beings tend to oscillate only within their own restricted vision of what this is. Yes, everything has borders as far as the human mind is concerned, and that's something which actually limits the expression, limits the condition, and therefore limits the knowledge and the input of that knowledge from the spirit world. It means to say then that you as a spirit healer is actually denying many aspects of the spirit world and the way that we can work. In a sense, of course, you would even have all of these perhaps denying the advent of trance healing and that kind of thing. And you may well have many situations where healers in the traditional sense of these various different ways that I have just described to, and as I say, I am not being negative about any of them. I'm just saying that there are also very large areas of unfoldment within the spiritual journey, which once you have become a tried and tested healer within a specific group, doesn't mean to say that you cannot then actually expand your mind or let go of the reins and see where it takes you.
Yes, it shouldn't. But if you're ingrained in one of these, then you can tend to get caught in that block.
Yes, that is quite true. And so you see, there is a great difficulty here. As I say, many of these different branches will not even accept trance healing and will continue to do the very rigorous training that they have done even when presented with an opportunity to step outside of their box of comfort zone or something like that. And even though the loving environment may well be conducive to them being able to do that, they still refuse to do so because, quite simply, tradition has it.
I can understand the Reiki situation not allowing that, and also the National Federation of Spiritual Healers, because I'd like to go into the differences between those, all three of these, actually, in a little while. But spiritualist churches, it's amazing, isn't it? Because the Spiritualist National Union is a governing body, and obviously in the circles, in the churches, they do teach trance, don't they, in some degrees?
Yes.
Or the visiting mediums, maybe, that they have at the workshops.
Oh, yes.
Teach trance and encourage trance and revere to it, if I dare say that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And yet they won't allow it in their churches because it's... because it's what, Gregory? What do they say? Why?
Well, because I understand the actual connotation is that it's letting go of the rules, and they cannot have that. It's as simple as that, really. So it's almost like denying with one hand what you take with the other. So, yes, they're quite happy to exhibit trance healing groups and that kind of thing whilst they are taking financial gain for it and yet deny that it's a presented course in the actual gift of healing.
I cannot quite understand
the reasoning behind this.
You see, I can understand it with, like for instance, I'd like to share with our listeners that when we were doing a particular book tour of America a couple of years ago, we actually weren't allowed in some bookstores to bring you through and do the trance demonstration seminar that we would normally do in most of them.
No, that is very true. And in fact, friend, that is the main reason why the whole situation was, in effect, for most of the bookstores which were actually approached, they would not allow it.
Mm.
And that really was the situation.
They would allow it if, like, say, for instance, like, say, who should we say, Esther Hicks, when she brings through Ed the Abraham energy, she would be allowed to do that because she doesn't lose consciousness.
Yes, and has her eyes open.
But we were very often asked when we, you know, oh, well, you know, does he have his eyes open? Is he still conscious?
And is he real?
Or is it real deep trance, you know?
Yes.
No, sorry, it's real deep trance. That's the idea. That's the whole idea, you know. I mean, we're not putting any other method of communication down to be better than or whatever, but it's what it is, you know. So it was ironic, wasn't it? Oh, well, in that case, no, you can't do it here.
Present here, yes.
Yes. Yes,
I understand that. And it actually shows such a very blinkered view of the spirit world and ether world communication. You have all of these people pretending to be trance mediums when they're not, purely because they don't understand the actual mechanics of it, mm-hmm. And the manipulation of it. Mm-hmm. And the situation then becomes very muddied, especially in this country here where you have a situation of extreme difficulty just in understanding the differences between being sensitive or the different kinds of gifts of spirit that any individual may have, whether they're clairaudient, clairsentient, or clairvoyant.
Mm.
Yes. And all of that, you see, it's all put on one umbrella, including, of course, trance and all different kinds of faculties of that, that it's just psychic. Well, no, it isn't psychic at all. Psychic is not actually to do with the spirit world. If you are using a psychic reading, for example, you're actually reading that person's aura. You're not actually connecting with anyone who is from the spirit world in order to obtain that information. If you are obtaining information from the spirit world, it isn't a psychic reading. It's a spirit reading. And the person who is doing that is a medium. And that is the difference. So, in exactly the same way, you have a healer who is perhaps struggling away there with their mechanics of what they can and cannot do in actual administering spiritual healing to someone else. They are perhaps not allowed to take their hands off because that's what they have been told. They're not allowed to deal with anything in the auric field or whatever. But just that everything that they do has to be presented in a very specific way. Then that means, of course, that actually there are a great many energies of the situation and understanding of the situation, connectivity with the situation, which the medium actually misses. Not necessarily, of course, that the medium is fully in control of the situation, but of course they are told that they have to be kept in control. So that, in a sense as well, is denying the spirit world the situation to actually progress that medium and the clear channel possibility of that medium's control. So in a sense, really allowing that medium just to relax and be in the vibration, which is really what we're trying to bring about, what we're really after, from our point of view in the spirit world.
Well, it's blocking the energies, isn't it? Surely, if you're doing, if you're doing it in a regimented way like that, and always very consciously aware of where you can't touch and how far away from the body you have to have your hands or not. It's not very inspirational, is it? It's not very. It's not what you would call. You're not going to be attuned, are you, or an empty vessel for the healing energies to come through you?
No, quite so. And similarly, my friend, I have to say that there are some healers who actually feel that they have to, for some reason, almost press their hands into the client like they are gripping them like a vice or something like that. And the poor patient is wilting under the pressure of this, it's all because they have been told that they have this very big healer, so they feel as though they are really oppressing the patient in a sense.
So in that instance then, shall we just go with that just for a second? What would you suggest there? So that's just a lack of development with the healer.
With
the healer and their healing guide.
Yes, absolutely, really. And it's really just showing them that they're going, that the teacher is actually teaching them along the wrong pathway. That's the point of that and why I brought it up.
So is the healer, is the spirit healer aware, necessarily going to be aware that that is the case if the patient doesn't actually say at any time, well, you know, that was a bit hard, or if somebody
yes.
else doesn't notice and say, look, I think, you know, that might be slightly uncomfortable by the looks of it.
Yes, are you trying to drive me into the floor?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's an interesting point, isn't it? I mean, because I know in practitioners, if you're doing it for a living or if you're doing it regular, then people are just going to stop coming to you.
Well, yes,
but
quite.
In a situation where you're learning and nobody tells you,
yes,
you know, that can be difficult. So basically, that person needs to do some more attunement with their guide.
Yes, well, it's not really to do with that. It's really to do with the mechanics of what they have been told is acceptable practice or what they have been told that they should be doing. That's the point, really, that I have to say. You see, unfortunately, many teachers do not put themselves in the place of the client and say, right, I wish you to give me healing. This is your turn now to work on me. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then that really should be how much the teacher involves themselves with the budding medium in this respect in order to iron out such problems. Or perhaps they have an odor problem, a personal problem, or something like that.
Well, yes, that can happen.
And that happens too.
It can,
which, of course, can be quite disgusting
mm-hmm.
at times,
mm-hmm.
Particularly if they have a problem of nervousness or something like
mm-hmm.
that. So it can actually be quite uncomfortable.
Mm.
Yes, I know that perhaps many people may laugh at this, but it's actually true, and it does exist. And so all I'm saying is, well, for people who have that kind of a situation, kind of a problem with their own personal life, then I would have to say, well, they really have to act quite differently. They have to really not worry so much to begin with. That the situation shouldn't be that they are sweating profusely or whatever when they are healing, because that means that they're making effort. They are doing something themselves, having themselves something as a part of this. This isn't the same as someone pacing up and down when they're giving clairvoyance or something like that, or talking very rapidly and building up a lot of exertion in that situation, in that field of very vibrant energy. It's not the same. When you're doing healing, when you are acting in this response, you are being quite, in a sense, passive. But it doesn't mean to say that you're not connecting in that way. But you're connecting, should be connecting, on a completely different level. So I do hope that people are taking understanding of this. And if you are a person who actually has a personal hygiene problem in that way of sweating profusely or whatever, then I would really just say two things. Drink a lot of water. And also make sure that you are well prepared and don't worry.
And maybe look at your diet as
well.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that too, yes.
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 Yeah.
And hopefully if it's stressed, then it will pass.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, hello, caller.
Hello, Sylvie. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, friend.
Hi.
This is Brian from Indiana.
Hello, Brian.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, friend Brian. Hello.
I know just a second here you were talking about when one starts to sweat to drink more water. Thank
yes.
you, because
yes.
I definitely need to do that.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. It's imperative, friend. Yes.
I never thought that the body really needs a lot more water than it does, but it truly does, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And also the water should be pure as possible, friend. So if you are actually a healer who does have a practice of healing, then in fact you should also have a filtered water jug and that kind of thing, and always make, if you bring that with you wherever you go, then I know it's a bit cumbersome, but if you do that, then that's something which means that you are always using the same environment, in a sense. You're taking your environment with you, and the liquids that you can bring through to your physical state, then will always be as pure as you would ever wish it to be.
Yes, what I'm calling about today, I had a question for you.
Yes.
My question is, I feel that I'm a healer. My hands vibrate, they get very warm, and I do sweat a lot. I tingle a lot. My body, the hair sometimes on the back of my neck stand up.
Yes.
And I can feel that I have a strong, my aura field's getting stronger. And I was wanting to know, as a healer, I'm glad that you and Sylvie were bringing that up and talking about how, you know, how we limit ourselves.
Yes.
We buy into, you know, how we're supposed to do it, when we should just go with the impression and feel. We use the feeling body.
Yes.
How we should heal.
Yes, absolutely, Brian. And I have to say, friend, that it's really imperative that you do a lot of healing, you especially,
yes.
Because the situation is the more that it builds up, you see, the more that the energy builds up, the more it becomes vibrant, and you are actually, in a sense, almost at a loss to actually handle the energy. But the point is that, so what you do is you just immerse yourself in the situation. If you have a problem over the situation, that it actually brings up quite a lot of nervous exertion, should I say, to do with the energy, then you can ask them just to step back a little, just to relax the control a little, so that really you are, because sometimes this happens when they come in too close to you and you're not ready for them.
Is that why my body...
Do you understand, friend?
Yeah.
So this is really to do with a mechanical problem that you have. And I have to say then that it means then that you have to be a little brave, should I say, and step outside of your parameter of feeling and say, well, very well, yes, can you just step back, please, until I am ready? And then... Because what they really have to do is allow you and your consciousness to transcend the physical state. And by doing that, you won't actually feel that energy. And just because you don't feel it doesn't mean to say it's not there, friend.
Right,
it's
right,
just
right.
To say that this is a completely different set of control, and that you, in a sense, it's because they're so eager and so wanting you and willing you to do this and that, and yes, of course, you'll feel a great deal of heat in through your hands, but at the same time, friend, if you are actually placing your hands upon a patient at that time, they may even say that that's very cold, and your patients will also feel as well, other pairs of hands as well, but this is actually because of the different beings who are with you, who are all, in a sense, clamoring to work with you. You have to ask them just to step back a bit, because this is really a developmental problem, and you just need to take it a little more time over it and tell them that that's what you need to do. And
so,
you will find that the situation will just... It's not that you want to stop it, but that you just need a little more space in order to get your consciousness into the right plane of existence.
I see. But when the energy transfers from one person to another, or one being from another, usually it's a very subtle energy, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, extremely subtle. But the point is as well, friend, that when you are immersing your consciousness into this other plane, in a sense, then you are forgetting about your own mind control. You understand, friend? You are forgetting, you are not concentrating, you're not bringing attraction to your own mind control and what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you are just placing space between you and the actual thing which is in front of you, which is your hands. That's where you're placing yourself.
Yes.
You're placing your physical body at one point, and your hands are, it's as though they are through the dimension into some other place. You understand, friend?
Yes.
And then you are just letting go, and whatever they're doing, it doesn't matter. It's not your business.
Yes, I understand.
You understand.
All you are doing
is you are just connecting, allowing the energy to flow through you, and that then transcends the physical state. And it enables you, my dear friend, to be able to just be a vessel for the spirit world to do whatever it is they need to do.
I see.
And you just place your trust in that. Don't think about it. Just allow it to be.
Thank you. And one last thing, Gregory, was when we're talking about these beings that are close to me, Brian, I was wondering, have they been with me ever since I was born in this lifetime?
Well, no, I have to say, friend, that it's only your doorkeeper who's been with you since you were born in this lifetime. I have to say, however, that the situation with you is that this is a gradual process, that there have been people, in fact, there are three people who are with you, who were with you, actually, and around you at the time that you were born. But then, at various points of your life, they've moved away and come back, and moved away and come back, depending upon your vibration, depending upon how your physical state has developed and your mind and your consciousness have developed. So these are three beings who have actually had an elliptical experience with you. And that is why at times you feel the energies that they are so familiar.
Yeah.
And at other times you don't. And you wonder, oh, well, where have they gone? Well, actually, it's not your business as to where they've gone. You just have to accept that that's the case and that there will always be other beings who will replace them.
Yes,
so the energies are going to change. They're going to move from one thing to another, to another, to another. And this is going to be a constant progression, friend.
Yes. So more meditation, drinking plenty of water, and just allowing myself to learn to be open more.
Yes, and always... Way. Yes, absolutely, friend. And always remember, too, the kind of meditation that you use to connect with those in the spirit world, no matter whether it's to do with healing, clairvoyance, clairsentience, whether it's to do with trance work, whatever it is, anything to do with the spirit world, don't sit for hours and hours. It's a complete waste of time. Just,
I agree.
That's just a travesty of what meditation's about. The whole situation is, if you wish to perhaps better the communication between yourself and your spirit, then, yes, you may wish to sit for an hour or something like that and just carefully attune yourself to your spirit. That's a beautiful experience for you to personally have and visit the island of self. But the point is that when you are dealing with other beings in the spirit world and that kind of interactivity, these are short sessions that need to be just perhaps 15, 20 minutes, no longer than that, and that you specifically say at the outset of your session, I wish to connect with this or that healing guide. If you know their names, if you don't worry over it. It's not something which is going to really entrap you, and don't go that route of feeling entrapped by names and oh, it's this or it's that. It's all a load of hogwash anyway, friend. So many people are so really fixated by their ego of who they have as a healing guide or whatever. It matters not. It's all healing energy. They're all beautiful energies. So why actually make a condition of the material life over it? So you would just quite simply just be and breathe and allow the situation to come to you, you see. And always say in your invocation or prayer what condition it is you are wanting to meditate for or deal with. And that is an absolute for meditation. Yes, absolutely. No. Always, too, sit in an upright chair. Don't do anything with your hands. No configurations or funny ideas of this or that. Just sit with your hands on your lap or something like that, nice and peaceful, and have a nice glass of water by your side so you are ready to drink it when you are returned to the physical state.
That's so beautiful, Gregory. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, with love and light, my dear friend. Thank you.
To you also.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you so much, Sylvie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. That's absolutely interesting. If anybody else wants to phone up, it's a toll-free number. If you'd like to ask us a question, ask Gregory a question in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322, and an international caller would dial 001-530-876-3222. And we're talking about healing and the different disciplines, really. And I'd just like to touch back on the differences, actually, in the situation with the National Federation of Spiritual Healers and the Reiki and the Spiritualist National Union
yes.
way of healing.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I do happen to know that the Federation of Spiritual Healers and Reiki don't actually proclaim to use the spirit world, as in healing guides and that sort of thing.
Yes, it's very odd, actually, my dear friends, because I have to say, within the federational situation here, they will proclaim that, and yet the situation will be that you will have teachers, so say, who will say that perhaps if their student knows who their healing guides are, they will very often change them for them. And that kind of thing. Say, oh, no, you don't want that person, you want this person, and that kind of thing. And actually change their healing guide, so say, for want of a better word, to continue to enshrine their own power and control over the situation.
Mm.
And that this is a complete fallacy.
But they
it's
have...
completely false. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. And but I am well aware that there is this distinction. Now, the Reiki situation is quite different because that is actually to do with the universal energy. So, the universal energy of what? Well, it's, of course, to do with the spirit world. But, however, we won't dwell upon that because if people want to assimilate with that energy as not being the spirit world, but being the energy of life, well, then so be it. It's only words. The point is that the energy of life that which they are assimilating with is exactly the same energy as the etheric world, because it's all one energy. There aren't different energies. There are different properties to energy. Yes, exactly so. And they come perhaps from different spheres, from different attractions. But the point is, its origination is all from God. It's all from the one place. So you may have, in the Reiki sense, with the attraction of energies, perhaps life energies of the universe, doesn't mean to say then that life energies of the universe is any different to the life energies of the spirit world, because they're all life energies. The point is that with Reiki, they would gather that the ether world, in fact, is not a point, is not a part of the energy existence of the physical dimension. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, that we do recommend Reiki.
Oh, yes,
because
absolutely.
Because it's a very good grounding, isn't it?
It is, absolutely so. And we know of many, many healers who are Reiki practitioners who also have a good grounding and understanding of the spirit world. And because of the fact that they're coming from this experience that they have been initiated into, yes, I know that that's also governed by many different rules and that kind of thing. The point is that you can just take what you need of it, which gives you the actual clinical ability and the understanding of how to deal with certain specific energy and how that is transmitted through the physical state, perhaps, or how you call upon it. The point then is that when you are dealing with the spirit world, this is something which is wholly etheric. Yet how can you as a physical being have a party to that etheric state as a physical being? Well, obviously, it means you just connect through your consciousness, your superconsciousness, with the ether world. In doing this, you are actually bringing through the ether world energies, and perhaps you are using your Reiki practice in order to initiate certain other faculties, certain other dealings with the energy of the physical being that you have in front of you.
Then no, that's just the same as my sister did the
yes.
National Federation of Spiritual Healers, even though she was already a spirit healer, medium healer.
Absolutely.
Just because, really, it gives you a certificate, an international certificate, to practice healing wherever, really.
Yes.
And get insurance and that sort of thing.
Yes, quite so.
But yes, that's quite fascinating as well, that they don't actually say that they use spirit either.
Yes, but and yet, on the other hand, they do, because they will change people's healing guides and that kind of thing. So, as I say, it's really, well, what one hand is doing doesn't know what the other hand is doing.
Well, I remember going to one of the classes with her, and when we got there, somebody put Archangel whoever, four different angels in the corner, four corners, said it out loud that that is what she was doing to guard us while we were working. And so I find that quite interesting.
Yes, quite so.
Yes, a little cotton socks.
Yes,
but I mean, yes. So, and yet they would, but that's what I mean, though. But that was indicating a form of that. That was a form of ascension, sort of like ascensionism, as in they would only feel that it was angels. Let's put it that way,
so
working
has,
through them,
yes.
not you know, a healing guide.
Yes.
As
so,
it were.
So in other words, then it can only be something which is attracted to a specific religion, because only in one religion can this actually possibly exist, Archangel Michael or whoever it is.
Mm.
And the point is that that's actually affiliating oneself with a specific binding in that respect. And I have to say that it's quite strange, really, that many human beings use the angel symbolism but actually think that they are invoking these very beings themselves, and actual fact, even using an angel to make it all right to use a Ouija board. I understand.
That's the
as
new
well.
One. Yes,
yes, yes. How absolutely ridiculous! I have never understood the reason of why people should actually be so afraid of Ouija boards, apart from the fact that they don't actually say a proper invocation or prayer when they're using one. And that really is the whole status of why people end up in such a difficult situation with Ouija boards, is purely and simply because they usually do it when they've been drunk, or when they've had alcohol, or worse.
Mm.
You see?
Mm.
And that, so
yeah.
The beer's in and the wit's out kind of sense.
Yeah. Well, I think that people tend to call their doorkeeper or guardian angel an angel anyway.
Oh, yes,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with
that.
We're
no.
not knocking that
no.
at all.
No, and it will be, of course, that many, many, many beings in the spirit world who are connected with each and every one of you will perhaps at times, if you are of that imagination, if you are of that intent in your physical life that you want to completely extort the situation of angels in your life, then that is how they will present themselves. All of these beings with wings, and they're all full of light and love, and of course, but that doesn't mean to say that actually underneath it, they are not just ordinary beings in the spirit world who have, yes, they've had a beautiful experience, and yes, the point, I'm trying to, struggling here to get people to understand that actually many people's parents, yes, your mother, father, sister, brother, whoever it is that passes in the spirit world, may well come back in that form, in that guise, perhaps because it may be the only way that you'll accept them.
I think it would be interesting to tell everybody about the situation at the moment, obviously not who it is, but that we're following a missing child at the moment, trying to get the police to believe us when we say we know where she is.
Yes.
And it's very frustrating, but to cut a long story short, there is somebody in the spirit world from this little girl's soul group who is showing themselves to her and communicating with this little girl in her sleep state every night, and she shows herself as an angel.
Yes.
So the little girl will accept her, and she talks to her, and she's not an angel. She's just a dear friend.
Yes, absolutely. A dear friend from the little girl's past.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's a way, or it's comfort, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. Yes. And what better indication than for a person to present themselves in that such loving way, such a giving way, and that they would obviously be of that beautiful and loving vibration anyway, especially if they are from their own soul group. As that would be the natural situation in any event.
Mm-hmm.
And so it often is that the love that you as a human being feel in the presence of someone, perhaps from the ether world, who may well present themselves as an angel is actually someone from your soul group. And that is the kind of energy that we have always been talking about and conversing with and trying to explain to human beings, that this is the kind of energy which exists in each and every one of you soul group. That's where you came from. That is the harbor of love that you came from. And that's really what love feels like in the ether world. That doesn't mean to say, of course, that everyone then walks out in the next 10 minutes and commits suicide because they want to be back in that loving vibration. The point to make here is that everyone has a creative job to do. Everyone has an expression to make and a connection to make. And within healing, what you are doing is you are making the best connection that you can as a physical being. That's the thing to remember. Healing is not a lower art form or something else of connection of the spirit world. It is, in fact, one of the highest and most beautiful experiences you can ever have as a physical being, and that you can ever express through the spirit world to give to someone else, because you are being in service. And what better gift of love that you can give can exist?
Absolutely, and make no doubt about it. When you are working in that way, you are a medium.
Of course you are. Absolutely.
So, different religions will use healing differently as well, won't they?
Yes.
We won't go into the faith healing thing, because that's just, I don't know, just doesn't have a good vibration for me today.
No, let's not do that.
There are different religions that that do healing as well, that will do healing. Can you think of anything that would be fascinating for our listeners? Put you on the spot now, haven't I?
Yes. Well, I am just thinking about, of course, there are conditions of psychic surgery and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that there are some notables who carry out this situation, sometimes with good effects and other times not such good effects. I understand that there have also been many frauds in this given area of psychic surgery, that they'll actually use things like chopped liver and that kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, we've seen it all, friend.
What, they've pretended that they've got that out of the person?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Some growth that they've removed
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Absolutely so, yes.
Well, it's tragic.
It's quite tragic.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
I mean, but initially that was...
Yes, quite. So we can see that there are obviously many, many people who actually gravitate toward, with different energies, towards certain places as well. And that's quite interesting, we feel. Certain visionaries which are said to have taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they are usually to do with certain specific religious ordinations. So it would be perhaps Mother Mary or Jesus or perhaps that Sanskrit values as well, Buddha and that kind of thing. Different gurus of past understanding, of past nature, have also been expressed and understand to have become visually seen and adorned a particular place, and perhaps even left then some very beautiful properties. And of course, then you would have streams and streams of people going to that place to have healing from that particular place, as the energy vibration is set to actually have been left by that godlike being of physical form.
Mm-hmm.
The point to remember also about these situations is not to deny them, not to deny that they are events that haven't happened, because clearly they have. The point also is to say that many people will gravitate to these places and experience healing again and again, not necessarily because of the energies that have originated from that place, that have been left there by that ascended being, but that actually, it's also to do with the vibration of energy which is being replenished all the time by the prayers, by the love, by the giving of all of those people who are visiting that place, leaving that beautiful energy within the very fabric of the place. This is an actual physical combination which is being left here. You are having people being presenting themselves to this physical place and leaving their love there, giving their love to the ether world. It doesn't matter whether they are citing Mother Mary, Jesus, or whoever it is. It really doesn't matter. What is important is that the love connection is being made to the ether world. And I know that for certain there will be those that call it the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit is able to come through them. Well, I feel that, of course, has to be definitely a situation of ego, and as it is. And that all healers should rely upon only the reality and value of truth, and not this ascended place of where they place themselves above other people. If you look at any of those who had been most beautiful healers of the past, they didn't actually place themselves above anyone else. They kept themselves within the mortal framework and setting. And if anything, even being the poorer for the situation to be. That doesn't mean to say that you have to be poor in order to be a good healer, either.
And the healing energies actually permeate the environment that it's done in.
Yes.
So if you always do it in a specific room in your home, that room will have a totally different sense to it as the more you go on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, and that's the point, really, because the healing energy moves into the walls, the very fabric of the building itself. And, of course, it is also to say that is why when you are looking at antiquities and that kind of thing, that what you are actually experiencing as part of the energies that you are walking into and that you are experiencing when you are looking around this lovely villa or whatever it is, or ancient monument, what you're also experiencing are the loving energies being left by other human beings, as they, too, have walked and expressed their love and their desire over this fabric of energy, which they feel through their skin, obviously, which is their largest organ, their largest physical organ, and through their auric field, and that is something which lifts the vibration. It's not just also to do with the ley line attractivity of the earth plane and the way that also has a configuration within it and is attracted by certain conglomerations of people. When people come together, you realize, when people come together and they are very loving toward one another, it actually attracts a new ley line to that place if one didn't exist already.
That's fascinating, isn't it? Totally fascinating.
Mm. And that is something to remember. And it's how interconnectivity through the establishment of the human progression actually continues to unfold on the earth plane dimension.
I think that's something else that we need to explore a little further in another show, actually.
Oh, yes, absolutely so, of course. We would be happy to do that.
Okay, well, Gregory, that's been great fun. Thank you very much. It's been wonderful. Lovely.
With love and light, my dear friend, be at peace upon your journey. God bless.
God bless. Yes, and I'd like to say thank you for Brian for the call. That was lovely speaking to you again, Brian. And I'd just like to mention that Monday night we have an Akashic Reading show, live Akashic Reading show. I have, if Lestina is listening, I'd like you to get in touch with me, Lestina, because I haven't heard from you for quite a while, and I wasn't sure if we actually finished the communication properly, but you're supposed to be on on the show on Monday night, and I need to know, because if you're not going to be on, then I will find somebody else to fill the spot. So anyway, if Lestina can get in touch with me, and if anybody else wants to go have an Akashic reading on one of our mini free show nights, then do get in touch. We it means that I have you down, I have your email, and then I will get in touch with you when there is another free space on a show night, and then see if we can do something. And for that, I will need your date of birth, your name at birth, okay, that's what's on the name that's on your birth certificate, with including any middle name, and one question, and your telephone number. See, that's what I haven't got. I haven't got Lestina's telephone number. So, anyway, so email me at enq@spirit-teaching.com. And our website is spirit-teaching.com. And if you'd like to have a full Akashic reading or any of the other services that we offer, do have a look around our website. It's quite fast and hopefully interesting. So, well, we'd like to say very much a thank you for everybody who's listened to Spirit's work today. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Enjoy, there are no worries.